afternoon, listeners, and welcome to this broadcast of Shooting from the Hip, brought to you by Sim Trainer, the Dayton area's first indoor range and firearms training center. We're located at 2031 Dryden Road in Moraine, just across from DP&L. You can visit us on the web at www.sim-trainer.com, or you can give us a call at 937-293-3914, and we'd be more than glad to discuss with you any of your firearms-related needs or interests. If you'd like to get on the show today, give us a call at 457-1290. That's 457-1290, direct line into the studio, and we'll get you up in the queue and get you on the air. Over the last couple of weeks, we've reported about the defeat of the legislation at the federal level, and I just kind of want to – my intention today is to kind of keep it upbeat and positive. There's lots of good things going on in the gun world, and I want to first of all mention that I had the opportunity this last week to receive the first Ruger LC380. That's the Ruger LC380, which is built on the identical frame as the Ruger LC9, but it's only chambered for 380 caliber. And I had the opportunity to shoot them side by side, and I see that there is a noticeable difference when you shoot them side by side. I obviously don't have a problem with recoil or handling many guns at all, but I can see where this might fill a void for some people who just aren't quite ready for the 9mm, and the 380 is a little better option. And if you take the Ruger LCP, which is their compact 380, that doesn't really have enough gun for many people to be a gun that they would want to handle, especially for somebody who's just starting out.
Well, especially for someone who, of course, got big guys like us, absorbing recoil, not that big of a deal. But you get somebody who's small or maybe has a little bit more frail hands. The small gun, the light gun, like the LC9, is pretty much of a handful. And the lighter caliber, same diameter, but a little less powder in the 380 is a significant difference in terms of how much recoil that is, and it's a lot more comfortable than to shoot than the old original LCP, which is a great little gun, but little is the operative word.
Yeah.
So you have just the same amount of mass in a gun with a slightly lighter caliber, and it is a pretty good match.
It was great. I shot it side by side 50 rounds, and I found it to be a very, very fun to shoot, and I can see where it's going to be very interesting for people who, and very applicable for some people who are just getting into the field. We have used the LC9 pretty regularly as one of the introductory guns for people who come through our basic class or our private lessons. And last year, Ruger mentioned at the conference that they were going to come out with the LC380, and that was overwhelmingly supported by the industry, and it's just starting to show up. I don't know that many of them are going to be available here for the next month or two, maybe three, for sale. But you certainly have the opportunity to come in and on our Try It Before You Buy It program and try that out. And I would encourage you, if you have an LC9 or you were thinking about the two, maybe rent them and shoot them side by side, because that will give you the opportunity to actually see the difference. But it's like I said, it's the traditional LC frame, and it has the it's a double action trigger. It's a very light double action trigger. The gun has a safety on it, but as we've recommended in so many other types of firearms, there's really no need to use that safety from a tactical standpoint, because between the training that you receive and keeping your finger off the trigger and the double action trigger, there's already some safety value or safety mechanisms built into that gun. But it's a great gun. It's an easy to conceal gun. It's something that could easily be put in an inside the waistband holster. You could even use that gun in a pocket holster if you're big enough. Like, I would say medium-sized individual up would have no problem putting that gun in a pocket holster. Obviously, a small fanny pack, purse, whatever your carry option. It's something certainly to consider. But it's new to the market, just been released here in the last month or two, and I encourage you to give it a shot, and literally and figuratively, and see if it's something that might be right for you. Along those lines, I want to remind our listeners that if you have any firearms-related needs, and I know right now we've mentioned before, there's a lot of people that are looking to get into guns, and when they go to a gun store, right now, especially because of the shortage, you may end up getting sold something that wouldn't be necessarily the perfect gun for you. And people say, well, in a perfect world, that can't happen anyway. But I beg to differ that when it comes to firearm selection, when you have the chance to shoot several firearms ahead of time, we've had it play out time and time and time again, almost across the board. Someone goes to a gun store before they come to us. They buy the gun. They come to the range. They realize that's really not the gun for them. and now they have a used gun. Now, in many cases, we encourage them not to shoot it and let them shoot our guns, the guns that we would think would be more suited for them, and they end up picking something like that. And then many of the local gun shops have been kind enough to exchange them one for one for the gun that they ultimately want in that particular case. But right now, because there's such a shortage in the popular guns like the Smith & Wesson Shield and the Springfield XD and the Glock 19 and several of the others that most commonly people are finding they like the most, they're kind of diverting to something else just because they want to get one. Now, that's okay in some regards, but I had a gal the other day come in, and she came in with a full-size HK USP that a friend of her sent her to the range with. And, she was about 5'1", 110, and very small hands. And that's what we call a complicated gun to begin with, because it has a decock lever and safety and all those things. And from the beginning, I knew that wasn't right. And she even hinted to the fact that, you know, when I held that gun, it felt way too big for me. And we ended up trying several others, and she ended up actually buying on the scene right afterward one of the guns that we had in stock. So I want to encourage you that if you're interested, to please give some consideration to taking a private lesson, coming down or sitting through our basic class, because during our basic class and in our private lesson, we pretty much open our inventory up to you. We'll let you shoot anything that we think is most applicable for the beginning shooter, and you get to go online till you find something you like. And then what I just did in a private lesson yesterday, we ended up trying 5 or 6 different guns, and when she got it narrowed down to the last two, we shot those side by side, and then she finally decided she liked one over the other, and that gave her a great opportunity. She walked away from there. The attitude we like you to walk away from a basic class or private lesson is that we want you to feel confident and comfortable with your gun selection, as opposed to, well, I don't quite know. And if you just walk into a gun store and you buy something that you've been sold, you've never had a chance to shoot it, you don't know the feel, you don't know the recoil, all those issues come into play, and it makes it difficult for you to be good at doing whatever you're going to do with it.
Yeah, let me add just a little bit to that, and that is that you wouldn't go out to buy a car if you didn't have if you didn't already know how to drive. Now, somebody might buy you one as a gift. I know a lot of dads have done that for their kids when they turn 16, but you really wouldn't go out and buy your own car without having at least some idea about the proper way to operate it and what you need and what you're going to do and how it needs to be working for you. And people sometimes don't think about the fact that a gun is a far less expensive commodity. You're not talking about tens of thousands of dollars. It's a few hundred dollars for the most part. And they think that it's really maybe not that much of a big deal, but it really is, because it's just as dangerous to misoperate a handgun as it is to misoperate an automobile. And it's actually far more personal when you go to purchase a gun. If it works for you, it's great. If it doesn't work for you, it really doesn't work. And if you just went out and bought a gun because you liked the way it looked, or because it seemed like it was okay in your hand, but you hadn't shot it yet, you really don't know how that gun's going to feel. It's very important to, at the very least, have a good basic fundamentals of how do you handle firearms, and then get some experience with a firearm that's at least very similar to what you're anticipating purchase. It's so sad to see some people come in and they have gone and they have tried to get a gun and they get a gun, and then they come in and the first time they shoot it, they just have nothing but problems with it, either because it's incompatible with them, or in some cases, there are some guns we simply don't recommend because they have problems. And when you have an opportunity to see what works and to try it out and get a little bit of experience and time behind a gun, it's going to make a huge difference in how much you know and then how much you can apply that knowledge as you go to purchase a firearm.
Well, you brought up such a key point there, Mark. And when you're talking about somebody coming in for the first time wanting to learn to shoot, when they get a gun that malfunctions, that just adds so much stress and so many unnecessary elements to the training process, because if the gun's malfunctioning, in many cases, having anything to do with the individual shooter who's trying to learn, it just doesn't work well.
And they always blame themselves, because they're the ones who thinks they don't really know what's going on. And so it couldn't possibly be this brand new gun that they just got. It's something that they're doing wrong. And well, occasionally that's the case, but more often than not, if it's a gun that typically has problems, it's going to have problems, and it doesn't matter who's shooting it.
Yeah. And one other point I want to mention, one of the main I guess, sources of information for people who are getting new guns or their friends. And they say, well, my friend says this is the best gun because that's what he or she carries. Well, I just want to let you know that no matter what, the best course of action is to take some training and find out what's better for you as opposed to relying on the recommendation from a friend. Because I'll be blunt with you, and I've been in the firearms industry for almost 30 years as a result of my occupation. People tend to steer towards what they have and what they like and what they know. And as a result, we're missing what will in many cases be better suited for individuals. If a person is a Glock guy, for example, they're going to steer people to Glock. And Glock's a fine product. I want to let you know that, you know, no matter what, whether it's Smith & Wesson, Ruger, Springfield, Glock, HK, they're all great products. But the bottom line is the particular guns in those product lines may not be the one for you. So therefore, I want to encourage you to just open your mind enough to know that let the professionals give you a little bit of advice and let you – the nice thing about it is – when we do the private lessons or we do the basic handgun class, it pretty much spells it out itself. By the time they end up shooting the guns that we put out for them, they find the one themselves they like the most.
And don't let what Jeff just said about Glock be any sort of a problem. And in fact, it's not necessarily even that the person who's giving you this advice is trying to steer you to what they like. It's just that that's what they like and it's what works best for them. And if they don't understand the difference between these different types of guns and just how personal the gun selection needs to be, they think they have found the greatest gun there is. And it's true for them, but it may not be true for you. So that's one of the things that we've learned how to do is to help get into your shoes and find out what you think works best and help you find that and then help you learn how to do that. And that's a huge difference from us just trying to sell you a gun because, frankly, we don't have a lot of guns to sell right now. But if we did, our objective would be to get you a gun that you would be happy with and that would match what you need rather than just to get a gun off of our inventory.
Yeah. I just can't emphasize that enough, and I just want to encourage our listeners that when you're looking for a gun, give us a chance. Give us a chance to suit that gun for you. I mean, we will literally custom suit a gun for your needs, for your hand size, and you know we know the things that go into the critical considerations that need to be made when we're selecting a gun. It's not just a matter of the size of the gun. People think because a person's small, they should have a small gun. That's not always the case.
And no, very much not. And the other thing is that sometimes some of the guns are adjustable, so when you just try it, it may not be best for you, but it doesn't take very long with just making some very minor tweaks that we can find a gun that does fit you and then customize and fit that gun specifically for you. We need to take our first break for the hour, so if you'd like to be part of this discussion, please call to the studio at 457-1290. 457-1290 will get you into the Master Control Suite, and Mike will have you on the board and get you into our program. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290, News Talk Radio WHIO.
Hi, this is Rachel Parsons, spokesperson for the National Rifle Association, and you're on Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
God bless America. This is your blood brother, Ted Nugent, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio WHIO.
Welcome back to the show. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip. Let's go out to the phones, and we'll talk to Betty, who's calling from Washington Township. Betty, welcome to the show.
I was just driving in the car and thought if there's any other women out there driving around today and hear this, that a group of us came down to your facility, and no one told me to call you, but a group of us came down to your facility a while back and took your classes, and I had never held a gun before, I've never shot a gun before, and I just want to tell women out there that if there's anybody that wants to try it, that you guys do a great job, you're patient. And you're right, earlier you talked about trying different guns. We tried several guns the first time we were there, tried several the second, and then this week I was lucky enough to try the new 380 you were talking about, and it's perfect between the 22 and the 9, like you said. And one of the extra things I found out about that 380 is it has a two different grips. I think is that the one that had
well,
two different grips?
Actually, if it's the one it's the SR22 that had the different grips, allowed
that's
for
right. But anyway, I just want to let people know that it is a great facility. They are patient and understanding with women, and if there's anybody out there, they ought to try you guys.
Thank you very much for your call, and what she just mentioned is prime to what we're trying to accomplish down there. And You get somebody come down who is new to it. You know, we might start you off in a 22 and let you work your way up. You may go to a 9mm and decide, well, maybe that's a little bit too much, and then we can put you into a 380, and sometimes moving you to a 38 caliber revolver would be another option. But at least you have the opportunity to handle the gun, to shoot the gun, and to find out what feels good for you. And in Betty's particular case, it's one of those cases where she had little to no experience when she went in, and we take her to a level of competency, and then they end up buying guns that they can handle, and then they start shooting on a recreational basis, and then take additional training to where they get real comfortable. And then as time goes on, they may progress to something else as they're in the firearms world. But that's a classic example.
Betty, thanks very much for calling the show. We really appreciate that. And that is one of the things that we've done a little bit differently at Sim Trainer from some ranges. And I'm not talking about any in particular around here, but sometimes ranges get the reputation of saying, well, you know, little lady, we'll find you the right little gun that you can have. And that's just something that's kind of condescending and not very respectful, but it also doesn't do anybody any favors. It doesn't do the gun shop any favors. And it especially doesn't do the women who are looking to find a way to defend themselves, to get a weapon that will work well for them. And the beauty of the gun industry right now is that there are so many to pick from that you don't have to compromise. You can find the gun that works best for you if you have somebody who can kind of guide you through that maze. And that's kind of what we do at Sim Trainer, because we do study these things. We get a lot of them in. We have a lot of people try them, and we're able to help guide you to something that will work for you. And then after you've had a chance to try it, you can make the final decision as to what works best. And Jeff talked earlier about how sometimes it'll come down to maybe two or three guns, and it'll take a while to sort through those and try different things and ask yourself different questions and say, which of these do I like best? And once you've had a chance to do that, you know you've got a gun that you can live with. And that's really what we're trying to do, to help people get a little bit more comfortable with it and to get over the hump that sometimes is kind of intimidating when you're looking at firearms.
Yeah, it works out very well that way. And I just hope that people understand, you know, for years, firearms manufacturers, they were gearing their main inventory towards law enforcement and military. Well, now they've had to expand that. And that's resulted in, like Mark said, the tremendous selection that they have out there.
And there's a lot of other sections that go along with that, like holsters and clothing and several other things that go to make those things now much more readily available with a lot more variety and much easier to fit different people. We need to take a break here at the bottom of the hour and go out to the news center with Daryl Bauer. This, if you'd like to be on the show, call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290 News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Go ahead, listeners, back to the show. This is Jeff Pedro and Mark Avery from Sim Trainer for Shooting from the Hip. And I want to remind our listeners that next week is the NRA's annual meetings being held in Houston, Texas. And I know there's probably not too many listeners that are heading that way now because of the travel logistics, but I want to encourage you to follow along on nranews.com. And you can stay pretty much up to speed on some of the new things that are being presented at the annual meetings every year. The manufacturers, not all of them, many of the manufacturers showcase new products that are coming out into the field. And there'll be articles or interviews with individuals on a variety of different topics, many of them politically based. I'm sure this year's going to be a lot of discussion about the defeat of the gun bans that were proposed and some of the battles that have to be fought down the road, because we have to be vigilant of that. We have to know that they're going to continue to try to advance their agenda. I know that's one of the strategies recently unveiled is that they're going to go back. They're encouraging the individual senators to go back to their states and to try to push through state legislation that will try to accomplish some of their ends. But they're meeting resistance at every avenue. Mark and I were just discussing on the break in Rhode Island where some anti-gun legislation is being proposed, and they had some initial hearings, and the overwhelming majority of individuals at the hearings were the people who opposed any more anti-gun legislation.
Yeah, the hearings ran 9.5 hours and ended at 2:45 in the morning. And that is something that doesn't happen real often when you're talking about a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing. The pro-gun community turned out in force, and they were joined by the National Shooting Sports Foundation and the National Rifle Association, as is often the case. But there were a lot of other organizations and other individuals who came, said they were testifying against any kind of a ban on modern sporting rifles, like the AR-15, or magazine capacity limits arbitrarily set at 10 rounds or whatever other round count that somebody might think is better. There was, in addition to all of the testimony against all of those proposals, there was almost no testimony in favor of them. So in addition to running to 9 hours and getting completely ripped by the voters in a fairly liberal state, in a sense. I mean, you think about Rhode Island, it's a Northeast. It's, you know, they do have by far a Democrat majority in their legislature. Lincoln Chafee is the governor. But I was born in Rhode Island, and I know some folks from that part of the country. And although they may vote that way, there's an awful libertarian streak that runs through a lot of those people there. They obviously turned out in force to say, yeah, I don't think this is a very good idea, and maybe you ought to just go back home.
Well, and I think that you have rational, reasonable minds prevailing. And the reason I brought up the NRA meetings and then linked it with that incident in Rhode Island is I want to just reiterate what we've said. The NRA has been getting vilified for their stance on some of these issues over the last several months, and it's so inappropriate. It's jealousy. It's
demagoguery.
Yeah, exactly. And they just realized that the nice thing about the NRA is they put their arguments together based on fact, and they have a large backing. And I just want to mention that since the beginning of the year, I saw a figure the other day, the NRA has signed up over 1 million additional members since the beginning of 2013.
Really?
So they've had extremely large numbers of people moving forward. And I can just tell you that locally, we obviously our numbers are smaller than that, but I would say we're in between 20 and 30, maybe between 30 and 40 already that have gone through SimTrainer to get their membership. And, you know, they
are
our voice.
And that's just at the range?
That's just at the range.
Yeah, and see,
yes.
You can also sign up for the NRA on our website, and we don't see those as readily,
right?
Because we don't have we get that eventually. We get some information back from the NRA that tells us how many people joined through our website. But if people are actually filling out the paperwork, which is a lot, frankly, it's a lot more of a hassle to do it on paper than it is to go out to our website at sim-trainer.com, scroll to the bottom of the page, and click the Join NRA link, because you get it done there. You get the same price. It's $25 instead of $35, which is the normal annual membership fee. So you get a $10 discount, whether you do it at the range or you do it on the website. And if you're not a member of the National Rifle Association and you ever hope to own a firearm, or you do own a firearm, or you maybe don't even want a firearm, but you recognize that the right to keep and bear arms is important, and it's something that was put into the Bill of Rights for a very good reason, and that nobody should take that away, you really need to be a member of the NRA. Maybe you were a member at one time and let your membership lapse. Get your membership number out, go out to our website, and you can go ahead and renew and refresh that membership, and you'll get your same member number back.
You know, what I'm so proud of being a member of the NRA and some of the affiliate organizations is I don't look at it at all like they are the villain out there, that they're just out there bullying their way, as you've heard some of the politicians mention. The bottom line is Wayne LaPierre and his the other individuals that put their arguments together go to great lengths to put educated arguments to the fore, so that they can present a very viable opposition to some of the rhetoric that's being thrown at us. And they are our voice. We should be proud that I've heard a figure also that they're one of the largest lobbies in Washington, and that's great.
Well, in fact, they are the most effective lobby in Washington, not just gun lobby,
right,
but of anything at all.
Right.
That's the one organization that everybody listens to. And it's not because the NRA headquarters or Wayne LaPierre or Chris Cox or any of the staff are so cosmic. It's because there are 5 million members of the National Rifle Association, and when something is brought to the attention of 5 million people, a bunch of them call the Capitol, write letters to their representatives, melt the phone lines up there, and email and fax and every other method, and then continue to follow up on those things and then remember when it's time to go in the voting booth.
Yeah.
That's where we have that tremendous advantage over the anti-gun crowd, who have a lot more money than we do, but they don't have the people, and it's the people who vote.
Yeah, I've already gotten a couple of thank you letters from representatives who I've sent emails to over the last several months, voicing my opinion about these particular matters. And they're truly responsive to the listening audience, and that's us. And we have to let our voices be known.
Well, they're not all responsive. I also got a letter from someone that I sent a letter to. In fact, I sent it to Barack Obama. I sent it to the White House. And I did get a letter back from the White House in Washington. Came to me in email, but, you know, it's on White House letterhead, and thanking me for taking the time to write, and then basically lying to me about what it is that all of these gun control proposals would do, and lying to me about what the NRA proposals would do, and how we are just trying, we're just ignoring the problem of gun violence. And that this is one that really sticks in my craw a little bit. We will not be able to stop every violent act. That's a true statement. But if there is even one thing we can do to reduce gun violence, if even one life can be saved, then we have an obligation to try. And what that completely misses is the fact that guns save more lives every year than criminals take lives using guns. People who are law-abiding citizens who defend themselves with firearms, and there's a huge list of them. This, and that is only a small percentage of the actual, because many times when somebody uses a gun in self-defense, most of the time it's not fired. And if it wasn't fired, there's almost nothing to report. Sometimes people might call and say, tell the police that something happened. But more often than not, something didn't happen. And because it didn't happen, because the person was armed and said, I'm not going to be a victim. And the criminal decided, I'm not going to die today. And so, being the typical cowards they are, they said, okay, I'll go find a soft target. Most of that is completely ignored by the administration and by all of these gun control proposals by people like Dianne Feinstein and Chuck Schumer and so forth. So although not everybody that we write to is going to be convinced and is going to agree with us, they still hear what you have to say, and it's really important that your legislators, especially those that represent you directly, our two senators here in Ohio, one of whom is strongly on our side and one of them who is not, as well as your representative that you elect from your district to go to Washington, as well as the people that you send to the state General Assembly, your senator and your representative here. Governor Kasich has been very much on our side and has been a pretty strong advocate, even though there was some doubt about that when their first election, when he was being elected to governor and some of his past history had been brought forward. Bottom line is, we are making a lot of progress, and the reason we're making progress is because people like you and me are contacting our legislators and letting them know exactly what we believe and what we feel and what we think the Constitution requires.
I think our voices are ringing loudly in their ears, and I think one of the classic examples that out in Montana, I believe, the Democratic senator who just last week decided not to run for re-election this next time. I know that he was one of the sponsors of the health care bill, and there's a lot of issues, and he even went on record to say that it's a train wreck just waiting to happen. But relative to that, they hear what you say. They know that there are people who are dissatisfied with the way things are going, and some of them realize that their political careers are at stake because of some of the decisions they made. Maybe the classic way, or the way they see the dignified way to bow out, is just not to run for re-election rather than face all the issues and lose with all those issues coming to the fore. But the bottom line is, our voices are ringing in their ears, and they hear what we have to say, and things are happening.
And so be part of that ringing. You absolutely take the time to write. One thing that I do recommend is that you write your own letter. You know, there are a lot of organizations that will give you canned text that you can punch on the right there, write the congressman tool. And I really avoid using those, because those just count for one vote. They see that, they say, okay, here's the canned letter. I know one person believes that, and that's just one more of the people that have been convinced to write in based on this issue. If you take the time to write your own letter, don't be real wordy. Don't be, you know, you don't have to try to catch all of the issues at once. In fact, that's the worst thing you can do. Be concise, be direct, and be specific about what it is that you think that about that particular issue. And when you write that letter and send it, whether you send it through their email website or whether you send it through an actual letter, typically the email website's going to get there a lot faster because they don't have to be scanned for anthrax and other contaminants. But that message does get through, and faxes and phone calls, even though you may not speak with the legislator directly, those messages are tracked, and they do get summaries and find out just exactly what their constituents think. So it's very important to take that time, take a little bit of time out of your day and write those letters and make those points.
You know, there's a interesting article in today's paper about unintentional overdoses of drugs in Montgomery County at on all-time high. You know, I think it's safe to say that the current administration's involved in a war on crime or war on gun owners. And for years, we've been involved in a war on drugs, and they've had some miserable failures. And after the break, I'll just make some comments about some of the parallels that...
We are going to take our last break for the hour. So if you'd like to get in the last section, be sure to call the studio at 457-1290. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Hi, this is Cam Edwards from NRANews.com, and you're listening to Shooting from the Hip on News Talk Radio, WHIO.
Welcome back to the show, listeners. And right before the break, I mentioned that today's article on drug deaths on the rise in Montgomery County, there are some parallels. As many of you well know, we've been involved in what they call a war on drugs in this country since the 1950s, 1960s for sure. And, you know, we've made some inroads. And the bottom line is there are plenty of laws already on the books, just like the current war on people with guns. There's already laws on the books that take care of that would be designed to take care of criminals who get caught. We have to, number one, just increase our efforts to apprehend the individuals, and then to increase the likelihood they're going to be prosecuted sentenced and penalized for their actions. And we just haven't been willing to always do that. And I know there's some major cases like the one out in Colorado where the individual got the ex-con got guns from a straw purchaser. I think it was his girlfriend that bought the guns, but it'll be interesting to follow that to see how it plays out and see if she gets punished to the full letter of the law to let us know that, you know, our laws are already there and they're in place for a reason, and they'll take care of most of the problems themselves. Another thing I want to let our listeners know is that we've increased our hours down at SimTrainer. We've done this on an experimental basis initially, but it looks like it's going to be long-lasting. We're now open on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 1 to 9 p.m. On Tuesday and Thursday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday 1 to 5. So the main increases were Monday through Friday. We're adding about 3 to 4 hours each day. And that's, again, so that you have an opportunity to get in, maybe make it a little bit more convenient for you to get in and do some shooting. We've had several people coming on their lunch breaks. Some people who happen to get off in the early afternoon, it makes it a little bit more convenient rather than waiting to the evening when they might have other activities planned. But we've tried to do that. We also have a variety of training classes going into the summer. Things are starting to slow down just a little bit, not a lot, but if you're wanting to get into a concealed carry class or a basic handgun class, or you want to do private lessons, we've got 5 people doing private lessons now, so we're all working.
That's been a big difference. We have much more capacity there.
Yeah, we're increasing the volume of our private lessons, and people are getting very, very skilled very quickly. And typically with our private lessons, and believe it or not, we can take somebody from little to no experience in just 2 to 2.5 hours to where they feel comfortable and confident with the gun that we help them select, and then they maybe come back for one hour lesson just to fine tune, and they're pretty much ready to go on to conceal carry or just to own a gun and to have a gun around the house if they choose not to go that option.
Yeah, it's a real good option if you can't get into like something like our basic handgun class, because those have been continuing to be filled up, although we have had some last-minute openings in some of those, so you might be able to get on standby as long as you keep that date open and check with us to see if there's an opening for one of those classes. But if you can't get into it or those classes don't fit your schedule and you'd like to still learn the proper way to handle a firearm and maybe get one fit to you, that's something that we do a lot of with our private lessons. So.
And I know I've had a lot of people recently ask about the rifle class. It's getting that time of year, and I assure you here in the next month to month and a half, we're going to have that up online. And that's a class where we actually have a series of 2 that we run, the basic introductory class for somebody who's interested in getting into a sporting rifle. And then we have an advanced class where we get people at a longer distance, and we help them select an optic and sight their gun in from longer distance. And it's a great opportunity for people who are interested in getting involved in the sporting rifle end of things here. And we will have that class up online here probably in the next couple of weeks.
Okay, that's super. And the biggest problem that we have sometimes getting that scheduled is getting the schedules of the instructors and the facility and everything put together. But we have been able to do that, and it's a great class. Everybody that's taken that class, you don't have to have any prior experience, because we start with the basic class right at the very beginning on the basic functional operations of the modern sporting rifle, the AR-15, the Stoner pattern rifle. There's all basically all different names for the same thing. And we'll get you the experience that you need to get out and make that part of your personal firearms inventory as well. Thanks very much for being part of the show. We'll be sure to be back here next week on Saturday at 2 o'clock. We'll head out into the news center again to get an update from the news, and then stay tuned after the news for There Is a Season with Bob and Gloria. This is Mark Avery and Jeff Pedro for Shooting from the Hip on 95.7 FM and AM 1290. News Talk Radio, WHIO.